Fingerprints can tell you a lot about a person. From your fingerprints, you can know who they are exactly, because you're the only one with those fingerprints. Even if you have identical twins, they still have different fingerprints, which means you can leave your fingerprint behind, you can leave the room, someone can find it, and they can tie you to that place even if no one saw you. That's not surprising. Anyone who's seen TV knows that. But I can tell you more than that. Your fingerprints, they can tell people what your diet was. They can tell people what medications you're on. Just because of the substances left behind, sometimes even what you do for a living. If there's any DNA left behind, it can tell people your hair color, your eye color, your gender, your ethnicity, what diseases you're genetically predisposed towards. You see, our fingerprints, they can tell you a lot about someone. But you can't know someone from their fingerprints, can you? I mean, there's a difference between knowing some things about somebody and really knowing somebody. You see, God has left his fingerprints on everything in all of creation. You can stand in a field in the middle of a stormy day, and you can marvel at the God who made the wind and the waves and the rain and the power of the God behind it. And you can stand in that same field on a clear summer day, and you can marvel at the wisdom, at the love of beauty God has, at the balance he's created, at the life just in that very same field. You can sit and you can look at an old picture, and you can see the mountains in the background. And then you can look at that same scene in real time, and you can marvel at how everything changes, but those mountains, they stay exactly the same. And you can wonder about the God who stands behind it, his eternity and his staying power. And the next moment, you can hold a newborn baby in your arms, and you can marvel at God's ability to make something brand new. You can think about all the injustices in the world, and you can realize that there are right, there is wrong, and crossing that line has consequences, and you can be happy that there is such a thing as justice, and you can also be terrified of it when you think about your own failings. You see, in all these ways and more, God has left his fingerprints on everything he's made and on our own souls. But there's a difference between knowing some things about somebody and knowing someone. You know, you can learn some things about God through a telescope or a microscope. You can see his power and his wisdom. You can know about God's holiness with your own battles with your conscience, but you cannot know him there. What makes him tick? Who he is down to his core, down to his guts. And as we said before, I guess you don't have to know everyone like that, do you? You don't necessarily need to know your neighbors like that or your coworkers like that. But with our God, doesn't faith demand it? Because the promises we hold on to, they are not inconsequential things. They're promises of life in the midst of death. They're promises of order in the midst of chaos, promises of protection in the midst of danger. We put our past, our present, and our future in his hands. All our eggs are in that basket, and we have nothing to hold over his head other than the promises themselves. We are completely reliant upon him. And so we've got to know who we deal with. We've got to know more than just some bits of trivia about our God. And that is what Moses was after. Moses, he wanted to know more. And God had given him a lot. He knew God beyond just his fingerprints. He knew that God knew him, because remember in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush, God calls him by name to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he knew that God knew his people, because he watched as he led them to the shores of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's armies were bearing it down on them. Remember that? And that cloud they followed, it goes behind Israel, and it separates Pharaoh from them on one side and Israel on the other. And do you remember what it says? It's dark as night on one side and light as day on the other. And he knew that came with incomprehensible power because he watched as God parted the Red Sea. He felt the dry ground on his feet as he walked across, and he watched as those waters came crashing down on his enemies. He knew God pays attention because a couple chapters later, when the people grumbled about not having enough food, that cloud gathered again, and he sent quail and manna, bread from heaven, for them to eat as much as they wanted. And he knew God wanted more than grumbling, because he invited Moses and the elders to come to his presence to eat before him. Do you remember it says the pavement beneath their feet was like sapphire? There they gathered at Mount Sinai, and if you remember the story, the cloud of the glory of the Lord is over the top of the mountain, and there's trumpets, and there's thunder, and there's lightning, and God himself speaks, and he gives them the Ten Commandments, and he gives them the Mosaic Law, pictures of their salvation. Moses had more than just fingerprints. But he wanted more. And it wasn't just vain curiosity. Because if you remember, the people of Israel, they took all of God's love and they threw it right back in his face. They made this golden calf, and they had the gall to say, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." They worshiped it. They made a fool out of themselves, but worse, they made a fool out of their God. And if you remember, God says, "I will not go with you," because he says, "I might destroy you along the way." But Moses intercedes, doesn't he? And God hears Moses. He promises to go with him. But Moses, he wasn't moving an inch. He wasn't going to budge for a second until he knew exactly who he was dealing with. And so we see this exchange. And back, if you want to click through the sermon text, my clicker's not working. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand in a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Moses makes that demand. "Now show me your glory. Step out from behind the cloud. Show me who I'm dealing with." And he wasn't moving an inch until he had an answer. I don't think that exchange is that strange. I think at some point everybody has asked the same thing. Who am I dealing with? When life is tough, when life is confusing, who is the God who stands behind the good days and the bad? I mean, God created us to be in his image. He built into us to want a connection to him. But the problem is God is holy and we are not. And that gap is created by our failings, by our little acts of rebellion, by our twisted, sinful thoughts, words, and actions. There is a wedge between us and a holy God. And he will not be less holy. And you don't want him to be. And he cannot act like it doesn't matter. And if he were just to appear, if he were just to step out from behind the cloud and stand in front of us, we would be dust and ashes. Isn't that frustrating? I mean, when life is confusing, when it knocks you on your back, When good days turn to bad days, when everything you thought you had just evaporates before your eyes. Boy, we want answers. And often we don't get them. And if you just judge God on the basis of his appearance, he can look cruel. He can look aloof. He can look like the devil himself, as if he is your enemy, turning everything you love to dust in your hands. We want to know more. We want to know who we're dealing with. And the gap between us and him, the silence, the lack of answers, oh, it can frustrate us. But you know something? God wants you to have an answer to that question more than you do. Because he's the one who came up with the whole idea of us having a relationship with him. He's the one who made us in his image. And yet, he cannot deny himself. He cannot be less holy than he is. So he's got to find some way to deal with the problem, the gap between us and him. And he shows his love in how he does it. Did you see what he did for Moses? He puts him in a cleft in the rock. And then he covers him with his hand, and he walks by. And then after he walks by, he pulls his hand away, and he sees him just his back, just a glimpse. But that's not really how he answered Moses' question, is it? He answered Moses' question in what he said. And here's what he says. Then the Lord came down on the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, and maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Do you notice how God answers his question? He takes such care with Moses. I mean, why would he care that much? But he covers him with his hand, and he passes by, and he removes it, and he shows him his back, and he speaks these words. He shows us his heart in how he reacts. It's just like he does today. Last night, we had a chance to baptize a baby that was about this big. And the God who created the oceans and who filled them, who set their boundaries, he came to that baby in the waters of baptism, and I got to tell you, the water I can get in my hand, it probably doesn't even amount to a cup. And yet he bound himself to her there. Today, God is going to feed you his body and blood. The God who fills the universe will come to you in the bread and wine that is sitting right there in front of you. A God who is above needing language speaks to you in his word, and he spoke to Moses. I mean, he shows you his heart just in how he answers a question, but also in what he says. Because you notice, he is a holy God who does give sin what sin deserves. But he doesn't lead with that, does he? What does he say? If you look at the beginning of the text, he says, the Lord, the compassionate, a God who loves those who need it, and a God who's gracious, who loves us unconditionally, no strings attached. He's a God who's slow to anger, who puts up with a lot from us, and who defers all of his wrath to his son on the cross so that you could know that even if everybody in your life is mad at you, God is not. That price was paid. He's one who abounds in love and faithfulness, going over and above what you could possibly expect. And he is the one who maintains love to thousands, who brought you to the faith, who keeps you in the faith. He is the key to that relationship. And it's a relationship built upon forgiveness, upon a God who wipes the slate clean. That's who your God is. Right down to his guts, down to his core. You see, God's fingerprints, they are all over creation. I mean, they are everywhere. And we didn't even begin to get into all the ways God shows us who he is in the things he's made. But there's a difference between knowing some things about someone and knowing someone. And God, if you get to know him beneath his fingerprints, you cannot know the answer to that question in a field or on a mountaintop or in the middle of a lake. But you can there. Because there on that cross, you see it. A God who takes sin seriously and gives it what it deserves. And yet a God whose love won the day, because you and I didn't die on that cross, did we? But his son did. He took upon himself the weight of all of our offenses and paid the price so you and I could be God's people. So we could be his. That's who's behind it all. And doesn't that make all the difference in the world? Because life is confusing, and God never promises us answers. And maybe that's because we couldn't begin to understand the answers to the questions. But he is the God of the cross, a God of love. Because sometimes life is tough, and if you judge God just on the basis of how life is going, God can look cruel or worse. But he never changes. He's always the same. He's the God who lived, died, and rose for you. No matter where you are in life, no matter what is happening, always remember that's who you're dealing with. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.